Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron, and apparently we're on 33 speed from the LP era.
I'm wondering why I'm even here.
And you are?
I'm wondering why I'm even here.
Oh, okay. She's Jean Marie. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we do not have a guest, but we are talking once again about BAM.
Not once again, because this is the first time anyone's heard it.
BAM.
Do you mean BAM, as Emeril Lagasse would say?
No, we're going to discuss BAM, as in bile acid malabsorption, also known as bile salt malabsorption. Let me say now that we will be talking about bowel movements. So if you're uncomfortable with today's topic, you may want to skip this episode. Also, now may be a good time to put down your chocolate pudding.
Or maybe even your bean soup.
Your beef stew or your brownie batter.
Moving on.
Okay. All right, let's rein this in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's review a few terms first. Bile, that's the watery liquid which is produced by the liver, and it's mainly comprised of water, bile salts, bilirubin, and lipids.
Bile salts are bile acids bonded to the amino acids, glycine and taurine.
And bilirubin is essentially a waste product of the circulatory system and is a tetrapyrrole. I'm going to say that wrong.
Tetrapyrrole. Yeah, that's probably what it is.
And it's a fun chemical compound.
Fun?
Well, I think they're fun. They have a fun chemical appearance when you diagram them out and are responsible for most of the color on Earth. Fun.
Right. Bile acids. Bile acids and bilirubin. Who made up those names, though? Who made up the name bilirubin?
Bilirubin, maybe?
That may have been his whole name.
Yeah. Okay. Are essentially what gives poop its distinctive brown color.
Fun. Bile acid malabsorption is thought to be responsible for approximately a quarter of all cases of chronic diarrhea. Fun. So you may remember that BAM, it's time to go to the bathroom. BAM, bile acid malabsorption.
So, as you may imagine, bile acid malabsorption refers to excess bile acids that are not being adequately reabsorbed in the small intestine, or the overproduction of bile acids that overwhelm the system and pass it on to the large intestine.
The liver makes bile acids from the cholesterol in your bloodstream.
Oh, so what if you have high cholesterol? Do you have more bile acid? Okay, we're gonna listen because there's probably an answer to that.
There may be.
Got a look that could kill.
So again, the liver makes bile acids from the cholesterol in your bloodstream. It is then stored in the gallbladder and released when needed into your small intestine. The bile acids help the body digest lipids and absorb fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, and E.
Okay. When we eat, thank God there's a comma there.
Exactly.
Bile is released into the small intestine, and then excess bile acids should be reabsorbed in the ileum before the mass of food and digestive juices known as chyme?
Yeah, or chyme.
Or chyme. Mm-hmm. Chyme. Passes on and into the large intestine.
When too much bile acid is produced, or when bile acids aren't wholly reabsorbed in the small intestine, the bile acids can travel into the large intestine or colon, causing irritation, triggering watery stool, or a watery bowel movement.
Which begs the question, what qualifies as a watery bowel movement?
Well, unlike other episodes of BAM that you may hear, this one isn't going to go into great detail or depth about that. But
well, thank
I
God
think
we did the other one.
Everyone knows what a watery bowel movement is.
Well, to be clear, we can refer to the Bristol stool chart. This is a, because everybody needs one, this is a graphic, a picture of a graphic.
And description.
Yes, and description. And it is a stool form scale. So like stool meaning bowel movement, which ranges from type 1, severe constipation, to type 7, liquid with no solids.
So I actually thought a watery bowel movement was from eating White Castles. Sorry, I think that part's going to get edited out.
Let's not get sued. Or Taco Bell. I'm sorry.
We appreciate the quality and the consistency. Not consistency. The
consistency.
Well, no, I was going to say the consistency of like how the food is always the same at such establishments.
That's right.
You know what to expect.
Yes.
Right.
They're high quality food products.
All right. Well.
So just as we have fun.
Yes.
And bam. Bile acid diarrhea, or BAD, can also cause abdominal discomfort, gas, cramping, and the frequent feeling that you may need to have a bowel movement or urgency to go.
Okay. When left untreated, BAM may lead to kidney or gallstones and malnutrition. The constant irritation of the tissue of the colon may also increase the likelihood of colon cancer.
Okay. And BAM is subdivided into four major categories.
Okay.
Type 1, where bile acids are not reabsorbed and continue to travel into the colon in those who have been diagnosed with Crohn's disease or have known issues with their ileum. And we didn't mention, but the ileum is the end section of the small intestine to the large intestine where bile acid reabsorption typically takes place.
Okay.
All right. And type 2 is an overproduction of bile acids due to miscommunication between the liver and the intestines. I hate it when that happens.
They
need to talk better.
They do.
The amount of bile acid by the liver exceeds the amount the ileum can absorb. This may be the case with IBS-related diarrhea. And type 3, another type of BAM where bile acids are not properly reabsorbed. This type includes people like me, no, not like me, who have had their gallbladder removed, or maybe like me, or those with small bowel bacteria overgrowth, pancreatitis, celiac disease, or other gastrointestinal diseases that affect the ileum. And lastly, type 4 refers to the overproduction of bile acids in those taking the prescription medication metformin, and that's for diabetes, right?
It's used for lots of different things, okay. But yeah, mainly for diabetes, but it's also used for people for longevity things.
Okay.
Off book.
All right.
Now that we have a bit of background information, it's time to talk about our initiative. To better serve our listening audience, we want to let you know that we are an affiliate of a major medical supplier in the United States. You will find affiliate links on our website, PodcastDX. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnoses to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you might need. We are open to your suggestions, and we'll adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners, find helpful. But now, let's return to our show.
Well, by now, I'm sure everyone is asking themselves, how is BAM diagnosed?
So, testing for BAM is pretty challenging.
Okay.
At the moment, there are 3 lab tests to aid in the diagnosis of BAM. However, only 2 of the tests that are used here in the United States. One is serum C4 test, It's a blood test, and the blood test measures the amount of an enzyme, C4, which is associated with bile production in the bloodstream.
Well, I guess it's not producing bile in the bloodstream, but the C4 is in the bloodstream, I guess, just to clarify.
Okay.
That should have been written better by somebody not to be named.
The test results may not be accurate for those with certain liver conditions or high cholesterol. Another one is called the fecal BA test.
Okay.
And it looks for bile acids in fecal samples. And for this test, you have to eat a very specific diet and collect samples over a 48-hour time frame, which may be difficult for some people. There's also a third called, I think it's CCAT. It's S, capital S, E, capital H, capital C, capital A, capital T. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yep.
All right. This test, however, is not used here in the United States. It involves ingesting an artificial bile acid with a radioactive marker, which is then tracked as it passes through the body.
Okay, so you'd be able to see, is it being absorbed properly?
Apparently so.
All right, but we don't use it here. So.
At least not yet.
Nope. Healthcare providers may decide to have a patient actually just try taking a prescription bile acid binding medication to see if it helps curb one's chronic diarrhea in lieu of testing, because testing can be so challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Such medications or such drugs also help lower one's LDL cholesterol levels.
Nice.
Yeah. And bile acid sequestration medications may have unwanted side effects, though, such as nausea, vomiting, constipation, and they can also be just hard to swallow because it's mixed with water and it can be challenging to swallow. It's kind of slimy. In addition, those taking bile acid sequestrants may need vitamin injections to replace the fat-soluble vitamins that Ron was talking about earlier that may also bind with the medication and pass through the digestive system rather than being absorbed into the body.
So regarding your diet, fiber, actually, it can naturally or does naturally bind with bile acids. This includes the fiber found in vegetables, in fruits, whole grains, and also in beans. However, it would be best to ask your healthcare provider and dietitian before making any significant changes to your diet, and diet alone may not help with BAM.
And I think a lot of us have heard about like eating fiber to help lower our cholesterol, because essentially your body is making bile from that cholesterol, and by eating more fiber, more bile is passing out of your system, and your body has to make more, and then it's going to take more of that cholesterol out of your bloodstream. So it can help lower your cholesterol, too. Well, I think that kind of wraps up this episode. I think we've covered all of the main areas of BAM without going into too much depth about fecal matter or its composition. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. Through our website at podcastdx.com, you can reach out to us on Facebook, YouTube, Audible, where you can't actually reach out to us on Audible, but you can listen to us on Audible, Apple Podcasts, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, give yourself a hug. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next time.